Everybody, welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 60 of the report. Hold on a second. Yeah, man, it's been a minute. What's going on with y'all, man? Last time I talked to you guys, man, it was around, it was a little bit before Christmas. Me and the homie, Mr. Gates, got together and we did the art of disagreement. I had a really good time doing that with the homie. Big homie came through with that, and it was a really good discussion. Got a lot of feedback off of that. You know, folks really appreciated a civil discussion about some of the things we were talking about as it pertained to Bill Cosby and what have you. And I think we talked about the Mike Brown situation also. So shout out to Mr. Gates for coming through and gracing us with his presence with that one, man. We hadn't heard from the brother in quite a while. So yeah, shout out to him. But shout out to y'all, man. I hope y'all had a really good holiday season, man, like a really good holiday season where you got a time to, be with your peoples, have fun with your people, celebrate with your people, celebrate life, man. I really do hope everybody did that safely and responsibly, man, because I know I didn't really get a chance to celebrate a whole hell of a lot. Your man Span was working, man. I was at the job doing not a whole hell of a lot, but I was at the job, man. Pretty much just holding down the fort, man. And I took that whole Christmas and New Year's time to take a break, you know, kind of get some things recalibrated as to how I wanted to do the show. Got some new equipment for the show, man. Just I had a whole lot as to how I wanted to do this, especially if I was going to be doing this show live. So yeah, man, I hope to bring you guys a much better and more consistent show for this 2015 year, man. And before I get into everything, let you know how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Of course, you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit me up at that phone number. You can leave voicemail messages there. And eventually, I'm trying to get it to where you can actually call into the show. Live some things with Google Voice to get that working, but I'm trying to get you guys to be able to call into the show live. So save that number, area code 313-288-0485. Leave me a voicemail message when you want, during the week and while we're doing the show, you'll be able to call into the show as well. Another way to get in touch with me here at the Span Report is to hit me up on the email. The email, of course, is feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. So if you got anything to say to me, man, you can't call, you don't want to call the show, you can drop me an email. I'll read those emails. And of course, I will respond to those emails right here on the show. Another way to get in touch with me and let your voice be heard here on go to the website, man. You can go to the website, leave comments on every post, pretty much on every episode. You can leave a post with your Facebook account and you go ahead and sign in and leave your comments as to whatever it is that you're feeling about what I said during the show. You can go on there, leave comments. You can go check out all the other Spanport podcast episodes that are available on there. You can also check out all of the guest appearances that I've had on other shows and all of my Span TV videos. You can go check those out. Definitely, if you want to go check out anything Span Report related, go to thespanreport.com and get your fix there. And also, just on some regular shit, chopping it up with me, hit me up on Twitter and on Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. It's pretty much the same everywhere across the board. And please go like the fan page on Facebook. I need to add that graphic, but go like the fan page on Facebook. And just interact with me. Let me know what you guys are thinking out there for real. And yeah, man. Yeah, it's been It's been a very interesting few weeks, man. A very interesting few months, really. And there's a lot of things that I really didn't get an opportunity to speak to, during the last few weeks. I know I spent a lot of time lately. During a lot of the later shows, we're spending a lot of time talking about what's been going on with Bill Cosby. We were talking about the constant shooting or the constant killing of unarmed black men, and I'm pretty sure I will have to speak a bit about that again today, it's been a real crazy time in the world, man. It's like 2014 was a real wild year, especially for race relations. A lot of people could say that was probably one of the most divisive years in American race relations in quite some time. Now, I wouldn't go back to say it's as bad as it was in the 60s, because hell, I don't know anything about how bad it was in the 60s. I wasn't around. But as far as I could tell, for as long as I've been really paying attention, 2014 was very, very animated, I should say. It was a lot of little incidents all throughout the year that caused folks to draw lines in the sand about what it is they would accept and what it is that they wouldn't accept, and what was racism and what wasn't. So yeah, it was a lot of little things going on throughout the year. And I kind of want to speak to like one thing. This is one thing that's been bothering me, and it has to do with, say, the whole thing. I didn't get a chance to speak to it with the New York Police Department, right? With Pat Lynch, who is I believe he's the chairman or the vice president or the president of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association for the NYPD, which is, I believe it's a union for the NYPD. And it kind of sickens me that it's a union guy. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a union worker. I'm a union guy. So it kind of sickens me that it's a union dude out here acting a motherfucking nut when it comes to, his misguided look at how to protest or how to express disagreement. So, we were talking about, the whole Eric Garner case and what happened with Eric Garner. And, folks were a bit upset, or folks were very upset with the fact that Eric Garner was basically killed in broad daylight in front of a lot of people. His killing was videotaped. Everyone saw Eric Garner killed on the nightly news. You can go on YouTube and pull up Eric Garner dying and watch Eric Garner die right there on your computer or your TV or your phone or whatever. You saw what happened to Eric Garner. And so for Eric Garner's killers to basically be let off scot-free, nothing happened to them, people were upset, because this was coming right off at the heels of Darren Wilson getting off from killing Mike Brown, right? So you have Daniel Pantaleo, who was the officer who killed Eric Garner, get off, right? And it led to a discussion where the mayor de Blasio has to say that, as a father of a young black male, well, his son's biracial because de Blasio's white, but as a son of a young black male, the father of a young black male, I have to talk to my son about how to interact with the police, how I'm to, how to project yourself or how to conduct yourself when you're interacting with the cops. Now, this is a conversation that most every person of color has with their kids. I've had this discussion on Facebook. I've had this discussion on YouTube. There was a video years back that I did on YouTube where it was a fight in Seattle. This happened in Seattle, and it was the girls that were fighting with the cops, and the cop punched that girl in the face. I caught a lot of flack. Even then, when I said that girl deserved to get punched in her face. And the reason that I said that girl deserved to get punched in her face was because of the protocols and how you are to interact with the police and how we have been taught to interact with the police. So if you got into a fight with the police, one could deduce that you should pretty much almost expect some form of retribution to come back dealing with the police officers in that way, right? So you look at what happened with Eric Garner. And you see Mayor de Blasio, he's talking about how he has to have these conversations with his son. And so for him to say that, you would think that's not really a whole lot. It's pretty innocuous. You would expect for someone to have that discussion because of the relationship that, most people of color have with the police department. Now, Mayor de Blasio, being the mayor of New York City, maybe he's in a precarious position, but at the same time, I think the NYPD is a bit sensitive to the fact that, yo, somebody's actually putting some sort of criticism towards them. Now, mind you, remember, since 9/11, man, New York police officers and New York firefighters have been looked at as heroes, right? No one, they haven't been met with a whole lot of, shall we say, criticisms to this level, to this magnitude, right? So since 9/11, they've been propped up. They've been, you know, they've been idolized, so to speak, to the point where they can do no wrong. Or for a lot of folks, they feel like they can do no wrong. So if you say anything bad towards the cops, or it's almost like if, say, for instance, if you're not necessarily with the idea of war. So there's, like, say, for instance, when we were talking about, when folks talk about supporting the troops, yeah, everybody supports the troops, and they support the troops in a way that, yeah, we want them, we want what's best for them. We want them to come home. We want them to not necessarily have to participate in this war. But if you say you don't, you know, support the war, then all of a sudden it becomes, well, you don't support the troops. And, and the two aren't mutually exclusive. And so Mayor de Blasio says, I have to have a talk with my son as to how he's to interact with the police. And this goes into everything that we've seen as far as the protest, the I Can't Breathe shirts, where, you know, again, I didn't get a chance to speak to a lot of this shit, so excuse me if it sounds like I'm rambling a bit. But you got these, the I Can't Breathe t-shirts, you got these protests that are going on across the country. People are really, you know, they're up in arms, they're upset with police officers not being held accountable for the ways in which they handle themselves amongst the public, and how they are so quick to kill some of the people in the public in which, you know, the people in which they're supposed to be protecting, so to speak. They're a little bit quicker on the trigger when it comes to certain people. And that's the criticisms that have been leveled against the police departments across this country, right? So you get that. And then you have one person, one stupid, crazy motherfucker from Baltimore, right? This dude is upset, and rightfully so, being upset about what happened to Eric Garner, and rightfully so upset about what happened to Mike Brown. But he takes his anger out in a totally unacceptable way. And so he takes his ass up to New York and guns down two officers in New York. He executes two New York City police officers. As a matter of fact, me and Mr. Gates were recording that episode, The Art of Disagreement, on the day that that happened. We were recording that episode. Now, Mr. Gates actually mentioned that to me. I hadn't heard about it. He mentioned it to me while we were recording, because I hadn't heard about it yet, all right? And so on that day, when you know, when Mayor de Blasio went to go to the hospital, go see about Officer Ramos and Officer Lou, to give his, you know, give those families his condolences, and to you know, basically his, doing his duty as the mayor, you have a ton of police officers who turn their back on the man who, in which they work for, so to speak. It's almost like with the United States government, where the, you know, the president is the commander in chief, and everyone in the armed forces are his subordinates. He's the commander in chief. It's almost sort of like the same thing, right? So these guys turn their back on Mayor de Blasio as he's going to the hospital to go check on these officers who were needlessly gunned down by this, you know, by this, I don't even know this guy's name, but it was a crazy motherfucker, right? So after that happens, we get, who is this guy? Who's that? Pat Lynch. We get Pat Lynch, and Pat Lynch is, for whatever reason, he feels fit to lay blame on Mayor de Blasio, right? And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but Here's what Pat Lynch had to say.
Pull that up for you. There's blood on many hands tonight. Those that incited violence on the street under the guise of that tried to tear down what New York City police officers did every day. We tried to warn. It must not go on. It cannot be tolerated. That blood on the hands starts on the steps of City Hall in the office of the mayor.
Okay. So he stands out in public. He goes in front of the media and he lays blame at the foot of the mayor for some crazy dude coming all the way up from Baltimore, Maryland, gunning down two police officers. Now, mind you, folks simply forgot that there was a young woman who was involved with this young man that he killed. Well, he attempted to kill. He shot her in Baltimore before he even left to go to New York City. And she became a complete footnote in the whole story as to what happened in this whole thing. And it was interesting to watch this whole, you know, this whole thing play out when you have the families of these officers who really just wanted to, you know, honor the memory of their loved one. They didn't, you know, I wouldn't say that these people wanted a spectacle made of the funeral services of these officers. But to have New York City police officers and other officers across the country. Now, mind you, there was a lot of folks, a lot of police officers from around the world or from around the country who went to those services, and to turn their back on Mayor de Blasio and make that whole situation about them as opposed to what really happened. To go into a funeral for a fellow officer and plead and basically ask, you know, no protest during these services, and yet stage a protest during these services and completely disregard the wishes of the officer's family as they're doing it. You know, and they started coming off as petulant kids, you know, and and it was funny, man. Like, who was that? Officer Lou, his funeral was like maybe a week later. And they did the same thing after the family asked these men not to do it, asked these men and women not to do it. They made these men's deaths more about themselves than they did anything. They could care less about Officer Lou's and Officer Ramos's memory because they wanted to make a point. Even though they've asked others not to protest while at these services, they do exactly what they asked others not to do. So, yeah, man, it was interesting to see that. It's unfortunate to see that. It's just amazing. Like the thing, like I said, you know, it was funny to see like Fox News people, you know, agreeing with union leaders, you know, because any other time Fox News, you know, talking heads like Jeanine Pirro and Bill O'Reilly and Hannity and all these other people, man, they don't give a damn about unions. They can care less about unions. But this, as soon as these union heads, especially Pat Lynch, goes to talking about the ineffectiveness or the wrongness of, say, Mayor de Blasio, who was a Democrat, you know, it becomes a political punching bag and everybody's just throwing haymakers at it and everything else. They made a whole hell of a lot more about what Mayor de Blasio said than what it was, and they used it for their own political gain. Now, the only thing is now they look real petty and they look real petulant, and a lot of folks have kind of turned off to the idea that, you know, the New York Police Department in any instance in this point is a victim, you know? So yeah, man, I like I said, I didn't get a chance to really speak to a whole hell of a lot of that because of the break and everything else, man. But yeah, it was interesting to see that. Right. But switching gears. I want to talk a little bit something about, I guess I could talk a little bit something about some football. How about football? yeah, man. Like, Of course y'all know. My boys got hosed last week, right? My boys got totally fucking screwed, right? And, you know, I didn't get a chance to speak on this stuff. So I'm trying to get everything out so I can catch this shit up. But I didn't get a chance to speak on a lot of this stuff. My boys got hosed last week. I'm watching the game, really good game. They come out strong. And you get into that situation. We come into the point where it's a fourth and one on the, I forget exactly what yard line the Lions were, but they were moving the ball on the Cowboys, right? They get that third and one, and we get the pass interference call with the flag picked up for no reason or for no real explanation. No real explanation is given for that, right? And so, you know, I'm looking all throughout the week, man. Everybody's talking about how, you know, the Detroit Lions had plenty of opportunities to win that game. The Dallas Cowboys took that game from the Detroit Lions. No one play determines the game for any team. They let the Cowboys come back into that game. And there's a lot of different factors that went into that game, true enough. And I'm not one of those crazy-ass Lions fans that believe that Jerry Jones paid them money. I don't believe there was a conspiracy to get a nice bowl too. I don't believe that I don't believe any of those conspiracy theories. I think it was just a really fucked up play, right? I think it was really fucked up, and it hurt the Lions in more ways than one, because you look at how situational a game football is, you know, how play calling is dictated towards certain situations. And so that situation led to a lot of different things happening that probably wouldn't have happened. When you think about the first and I forget how many yards that pass interference would have even been. I think it would have put them on maybe the 30-yard line. Then you add another 15 yards to the penalty that Dez Bryant was supposed to have gotten for walking out onto the field to protest a call without his helmet. That would have put the Lions on maybe the 12 or the 15-yard line, something like that. And it puts them in a position to score points. Puts them in a position to score points, whether it be 3, whether it be 6 points, it puts them in a better position to score points. And then even after that, if the Cowboys score a field goal, if the Cowboys score a touchdown, the Lions still only have to get a field goal on their way back down the field to win that game. They don't have to go down and win and put up 6. So we could talk about all of that. You know, you could talk about all of those things. It was just irritating as hell to me that all these Cowboys fans were so quiet before the game. They weren't saying shit before the game. And then a minute the damn Cowboys come back and take the lead. Now all of a sudden Cowboy Nation wants to rise up and talk shit. And then be indignant. Have the nerve to be fucking indignant if anybody brings up the fact that, yeah, man, y'all had a little bit of help. Y'all had some motherfucking help beating them Lions in that game. Be indignant about it, right? So, how sweet it was to see the Dallas Cowboys lose a football game on a questionable call. Oh, my God. Oh, sweet Jesus. It felt so good, man. It felt so good, man. You know, D'Angelo should have been out there like singing and shit with no clothes on. Asking the motherfuckers, how does it feel? Because it was so fucking poetic justice. It felt so great, man. And again, now it's funny to see Dallas Cowboys fans bitching and moaning about you not getting a call. After all week telling the Detroit Lions fans to get over it, and one play doesn't determine a game. Oh yeah, yeah, it determined the game today, didn't it? Indeed, man. So it was interesting to see. It was fun to see the Dallas Cowboys get their comeuppance, man. It was so good. Yes. Yeah, and you know what? I'm not going to even go in as hard as I really wanted to, man. Y'all know I was stewing all this week, man. I came up with all sorts of memes and shit. Excuse me. I was stewing so hard, man. But to see the Dallas Cowboys get their comeuppance, I'm all good. Now I can watch football again now. Like, I wasn't even really watching the game. I was like kind of flipping between that, and I was playing Infamous Second Son and shit. So I was just like, oh shit. I look up and was it the Green Bay Packers were up, and they were kneeling the ball. I'm like, oh. And then I'm seeing the replays, like, oh. So yeah, man, sweet Jesus. He brought it back. It was good, man. It was good, man. It was so good. Yeah, man. But what else, man? What else is going on? I know I had a couple things that I wanted to talk to you guys about. I don't even have my notes right now. But hold on just a second. Just a second, folks. I know I got it right here. Everything's running slow today. I'm trying to pull this up, but wait a second. I got too much going on here. Oh yeah. Did any of you guys hear about this story about the ninth graders? I'm sorry, the fourth graders who were plotting to kill their teacher with hand sanitizer. Little badass kids found out that their fourth grade teacher was allergic to antibacterial soap, or just allergic to these types of things, period. And they thought to kind of coat things in this lady's classroom with with hand sanitizer, man. It was crazy. I gotta Oh shit. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do, because I can't find my notes for shit. So I do know that it's been a while, and I got some listener feedback, and one of it was an email. I mean, I'm sorry, it was a voicemail that was sent to me quite a while ago, that I didn't get a chance to play on the show because I was going through the transition. So let me pull up that voicemail. Let me respond to this guy now. Let me pull this up for. Here we go.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Span? Big fan. I recently heard your episode, the most recent episode about, about the catcalling and street harassment. And I wanted to say, I think you missed the ball by overgeneralizing the situation. Their intent was to racialize it, and you made it too general as far as men versus women. And that wasn't the point. That's not what they're doing. This law passes to target black men. I'm not talking about Hispanic men or any of that other stuff. I'm not none of them. This is another anti-black issue. That's what you meant. So that you saw the grafters were black, because then it justifies that, look, at every turn, these people are black human beings. Look at them. They don't even know how to treat a nice young lady walking through a hood she would never walk through. You know, women got it bad because they're being catcalled is actually stupid. It's disingenuous. They have the ability to rule planet with them just waking up. You know, how many Starbucks waitresses are at a Michael Jordan event, and then how many drivers are at a Halle Berry event? You know, I think it's just corny to sit there and say that the world is ruined because people say hello to them. You know, that people are basically throwing their dick in. Now, hey, how you doing? They ain't gonna say nothing, fuck you, bitch. Yeah, that's going too far. And of course, that needs to be outlawed, but, you know, not in the sense that there's legislation against it. You know, that doesn't work for anybody. The hey, fuck you, bitch. A man might say that once or twice, but that's not an effective tool to get laid. That rules out stuff. Women don't respond to that. And men do stuff that women respond to. So, like I said, you know, no one should be harassed at any level, but to legislate it and to racialize it is dangerous for us. This isn't a male versus female. This is another law aimed at criminalizing everything that black people do, even when we try to say hello. It's ridiculous. And I think you missed the ball. You overgeneralized it. You removed the racial issue. And white supremacists want. They want us to seem like this world is not racially focused. If we start talking the world and views of, oh, this is a human issue, things like that, we miss the ball, and we continue to be backed into corners that we cannot get out of. Anyway, man, I hope I hear this on the next episode of you address it. I have responded to it. Dope show. But yeah, never attempt to remove racism out of a racial issue. It's dangerous for us, and we're the ones who get punished for it. Take it easy, Blake.
All right. I know it's been a while since he sent that voicemail, and I know it's been a while since I even talked about this issue of street harassment or whatever, but I do want to, you know, address this brother. So, again, as a matter of fact, I want to thank you first of all for calling and you know, letting your voice be heard, man. You didn't leave a name, so I don't know. I'm just calling anonymous caller, right? But here's the thing, man. I think where we have a disconnect here is that you say I take race out of it. I think you put race into it. I think you put race into this thing, right? So. I look at my situation as a father. My daughter's 11 years old. She's coming to a point where, you know, she's going to start having to have these interactions with young men. Young boys are going to start noticing her. Young boys are going to start wanting to approach her in certain ways. And as a father, knowing that this type of shit is going on, it bothers me, right? Even when I talk about a situation with my girlfriend, when she's out and I'm not around, where certain things are happening and, you know, she tells me, well, this happened and everything else, a situation where I know it wouldn't happen if I was around. it had in those particular instances, I'm not worried about whether or not it was white people, black people, or wherever else. All I'm worried about is the women in my life that have to deal with this type of shit every day, right? So I think where we differ in this particular instance is that you think it's about criminalizing black men. I think it's about a certain level of privilege where you think your privilege is more important than their privilege or their right to want to be left alone. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you can say that you want to say hello to a woman and hi, hey, how you doing or whatever, you try to strike up some conversation. A woman probably goes through that, depending on the woman, a woman probably goes through that over 100 times a day, depending on where she lives, depending on, you know, how she gets around and everything else. A woman is dealing with that all the time. There was an old joke Chris Rock used to tell back in the day. He said, anytime a man's being nice to you, he's just offering dick. That was a joke Chris Rock used to say back in the day. And folks laugh, but they laugh because it's funny and there's some truth to it. You know, you're not just walking. And I've had this conversation with a few people. I had one guy tell me he says hello to everybody all the time. I said, dude, you have not spoken to 100% of the people you've come across. And it's disingenuous to state otherwise. It's disingenuous to state otherwise. I think the only thing that these women are asking for is to be left alone. I don't know what's so hard about that. Even I can't understand why, like, you know, guys feel as if, you know, you have to approach a woman on the street. There are a various amount of different ways to approach a woman to make her more receptive to whatever it is you're talking about, right? You can go to a club. You can meet women at church. You can meet women in a whole lot of settings, different settings that's conducive to those types of interactions. But when you walk up on a woman who doesn't know you out on the street, you don't know what she's dealing with, you don't know what's going on in her mind, and you walk up and impose yourself on her, dude, you're violating her. If she says so, if she doesn't feel comfortable with you saying something to her, she has every right to feel that way. And so as a black man, you know, some of the strongest people right now, some of the most vocal people right now who speak about police brutality in the black community and the black men who have been killed because of police brutality have been the black woman, right? And we can identify as black men, we can identify with being seen as victims in the sense of the police constantly harassing us. We can be seen as victims in that way. We identify with feeling powerlessness in that way. We identify with feeling harassment in that way. We identify with feeling helplessness in that way. Why is it so hard for a dude who's used to being harassed to not put himself in a position to understand where a woman is coming from in that same instance where she's feeling powerless, helpless, and harassed? It shouldn't be that hard. And that's what I was trying to elocute or to explain, is that when a woman feels like she doesn't have a sense of safety, if she feels like every time she walks out of the door, she's got to deal with a bunch of motherfuckers, like, she like, man, I got to cross the street because I know these motherfuckers going to try to say something. I see that every time. I see that all the time. I see it in my line of work, women who feel uncomfortable because they see a bunch of construction guys and they feel like somebody's going to say something to them and make them uncomfortable. Somebody's going to make some sort of advance on them. Women are dealing with that all the time. I think as a man, showing a bit of empathy and understanding to know that, hey, I see what you see. I understand what you're going through, sister. And if I can do anything on my part to mitigate that situation for you, I won't participate in that. I will tell my homies not to participate in that, because I really think nothing's going to change unless men as a whole see it as a problem. Men as a whole right now are being real defensive about the shit. The same way a lot of these police officers are feeling really defensive about killing our asses, right? Now, they may be two different scenarios, but the dynamics or the elements, they have similar elements, so to speak. Both of them are situations where the victim in that instance feels helpless, hopeless, powerlessness, and harassed. In both of those instances, whether it's street harassment or police harassment by the cops that black men go through. So as a black man, I'm feeling as if I could show some empathy to these sisters for that, that I don't have to participate in that action, and I can leave these sisters alone, and I can stand up with my brothers and tell them, like, yo, man, that shit ain't cool. And there's nothing wrong in, and there's nothing wrong in that to say, yo, man, that ain't cool. So, yeah, bro, I think we're going to have to disagree or agree to disagree on that one, because that's pretty much how I feel about it, man. I really do appreciate you calling into the show, man, and leaving that voicemail. And I hope to hear from you again too, bro. Next time, I'll leave your name so I can talk. I can talk to you. We can really have that conversation. Or, you know, the next time you want to, just call in live, man, because, you know, we're doing the shows live every Saturday at 4 o'clock. You know, it's late now, but your boy Spam been dealing with some back issues. So, yeah, man, call me up live and we can chop that up, man. I hope to hear from you again soon, bro. Real talk. But, this is really just, I guess, a catch-up show. You know, it's been a minute. I really want to fine tune this. Like I said, I'm doing this thing live, man. I'm on the fly. I'm learning this shit as I go. I got all this new equipment and shit. I'm learning it as I go. And I want to thank everybody who's watching live. Every last one of you. Want to thank everybody who's watching live, man. But before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages and, of course, respond to you on the show. And, of course, later on, we'll be doing the live calls. I'm trying to get the live calls, you know, set up to where we can chop it up live on the show as well. Also, later on, hit me up with an email. Hit me up with an email if you can't get to the phone. The email for the show is feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course, I'll read those and reply to those here on the show as well. Chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So chop it up with me on both of those platforms that way. And of course, for everything you need as far as the Spare Report is related, podcast, videos, old episodes, everything is available at thesparereport.com. And as a matter of fact, shout out to everybody who got onto the new feed this week. Because I know quite a few of my listeners were still on the old feed and they were wondering if I had quit the show. But yeah, man, shout out to everybody who's back up on the new feed. And leave me new iTunes reviews, man. Leave some iTunes reviews because of the new feed. I don't have any iTunes reviews anymore. All of those shorts get lost in the shuffle when you do this, you know, when you do this type of transition. So go to the iTunes, leave me a 5-star review or however you feel review. Leave me a review on iTunes. Go to Stitcher Radio because you can also listen to me on Stitcher Radio. So go to Stitcher Radio and also leave a review on Stitcher Radio. Let your voice be heard. Let me know what you're talking about. Let me know what you're thinking about. Let me know what you want to hear from thesparereport.com. But yeah, fam, I got to get out of here. Time to go to bed. So I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.